Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality, the last show. Well, maybe. Who knows? I might be inspired to do a show. No, probably not before New Year's, but this is going to be probably the last show before New Year's, which is really crazy. 2016. I remember the year 2000 when everyone was wondering about the computers and oh, is everything going to get shut down? But anyway, I digress. Reality Spirituality, this show, for me, is really about growing and changing perspective and expanding and feeling different today than I felt yesterday. And also things that added to my unhappiness or just I concentrated or focused on things that were making me unhappy, not things that make me more happy, but this internal temperature gauge, which really is the key. See, happiness, I'm a happiness specialist. That's where you're going to hear the word happiness a lot. And going into the new year, I might be changing that word happiness to contentment, because happiness has so many different meanings for so many different people. And words are really limiting. I found that I could say one thing to someone and know what I meant, but the other person, because of their experiences and because of their history and their journey, they can interpret it differently. But contentment is a word that I think expands past this word happiness. Contentment, peace, and contentment. And that is what I'm going to be focusing on in the year 2016, at least saying that. I want to welcome anyone to call in and to speak with me. You know, this is Ask Rebecca Anything. And today we're going to be talking about New Year's resolutions and why resolutions, at least the way that they are set up, the way that this man-made society has them set up, goals, what to accomplish, is really a formula for shooting yourself in the foot and being miserable. And I'm going to explain why. I actually wrote down 7 reasons why making New Year resolutions will definitely subtract from your happiness and or contentment. But I want to invite you to call in to speak with me live, area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And my website is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. And I offer a 30-minute free consultation. You can just email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com, and I will respond. I'm getting a lot of requests, of course. And so be patient, because I will answer all of your emails, especially those that are interested in having a free 30-minute consultation. I will get to you, I promise. Patience, that's another thing. If you really can't be happy when you're in the middle of being impatient, and one of the biggest challenges or lessons or whatever you want to call it that I had to learn is this energy of patience. And let me just talk about energy for a second, because each of us is a big, big, big ball of energy. And your energy actually is a, what do I want to say? I don't want to put a label on it, but there are certain ways, you know that energy of being impatient. It is very distinct. You can feel when you are impatient, and you can have a feeling of an energy of a satisfaction or dissatisfaction. It is really an energy that you are putting out in every moment, and it's very, very, very important to be conscious and mindful of your energy in every moment. But the good news is, listen, this is the good news. The good news is whatever energy you're putting out in one moment, you can snap your fingers. Yes, that was my finger snapping. You can snap your fingers and switch it up. You can make an energy shift in a matter of seconds, nanoseconds, mini, mini, mini seconds. But to be able to do that, in other words, if you're impatient or you're exasperated or you're angry or you're judgmental, whatever those things are that really subtract from your happiness, you can really switch it up. But how do you do that? You do that with practicing switching your enemy. Oh my God. Yeah, practice switching up your energy, because energy that is impatient and unsatisfied is your enemy. Where the hell did that word come from? Oh, E-N-E-N, both start with E-N. How's that? So you could practice switching up your enemy, which is energy that is impatient. I was on a radio show this week. It was actually the Time to Play radio show with Doreen Guma, and she invites me on. I'm actually on the first Wednesday in every month because it's a happiness topic. And she invited me on this last week to talk about holidays and holiday memories. And it really got me to thinking, because I know people, I used to be one of them, my hand is raised, I used to be one of them that had quote-unquote traditions. In other words, every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, every holiday, especially those family-type holidays, you would find me at my parents' house. And it was called a tradition, but in reality, it's an obligation. In fact, I remember having this conversation, and Doreen was saying that for 20 years or 25 years, she's hosted this Thanksgiving gathering. Now, when she said that, I actually felt exhausted. And I'm only speaking for myself, because some people get energized and excited and love it and feel good about it and look forward to it. But I remember for years I used to get together a hiking club, and it was called the Holiday Hiking Club. And we would hike on all the major holidays, and we would hike early in the morning. We would start maybe 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning to get our hiking done, and then we would go out to breakfast or not. But this hiking club, so I would gather, make flyers and gather people anywhere from 15 to 25 people on New Year's Day, on Christmas Day, Thanksgiving Day, 4th of July, Easter, all of the major holidays. And I remember I did that, I think maybe 3 years. So 3 years, it might have even been 4 years, because I really don't remember exactly, but I know it was at least 3 years. And I remember at the time I started to get tired of getting it, gathering everyone together. And so what I did was I passed the reins to someone else. I said, yeah, this is great. Why don't you put it together? Why don't you organize the holiday hiking club? Why don't you? And anybody could have taken the reins. It didn't matter to me who did it. I was just really tired of doing it. It really became work as opposed to fun, as opposed to doing it out of inspiration, as opposed to just it being light. It became heavy. There you go, because I like to keep it simple. There's a really big difference about something that feels heavy or something that feels light. And I have to say that the heaviness turned into or changed into, morphed into obligation. And obligation always, always brings about. Now, I'm not talking about being obligated to a child or being obligated to an elderly parent that is, you know, 90 years old, ready to kick the bucket. I'm not talking about that type of obligation. I'm talking about obligation to adults, obligation to adult children, obligation to friends, obligation to coworkers, that obligation to big people, people like you, people that are adults, that kind of obligation. And it began to feel heavy and exhausting. And I didn't even know it then, because this was years ago. This was back in the early 2000s, years ago. I didn't know it then, but it began to feel like an obligation to me as opposed to a joy. And I remember talking to my mother, hi, Mom. And I remember talking to my mother, and she asked me one Thanksgiving, oh, you're going to have the holiday hiking club? You're going to put that together? Yeah, that's how she sounds. You're going to put the holiday hiking club together this year? I said, no, not really. Well, why not? You've been doing it forever. People are going to be so disappointed. And at the time, I really wasn't even into the happiness bandwagon as I am now. But that comment just made me feel, ugh, guilty. Why don't I do it? But I was really determined not to, because it didn't feel good anymore to me. What felt good was, okay, you put it together and I'll join. And you know what happened, what wound up happening is I found that nobody continued with the holiday hiking club. It was my baby to create, my baby to have, my baby to keep going. But nobody carried on that tradition, which is fine. Obligations to continue something, a tradition, just because you've always done it that way, for me, is something that I have gotten away from totally. And I have to say that when I was younger and when my son was younger, we did the Christmas dinner, we did the Christmas breakfast with his dad, we did the Christmas opening, but when they're younger, it's different. But when my son became an adult, and especially when he moved to New York, this back and forth and feeling obligated to even talk to me or Skype or anything on a Christmas day or on my birthday. I remember he told me this birthday. I just had a birthday in December. And he said, Mom, you know, I felt like I had to call you in order for your birthday to be complete. You know, I had to make a phone call and say, happy birthday. And I have to say, I felt like crap, because I don't want my son to feel like he's obligated to call me or he's obligated to do anything for me on my birthday to make my birthday complete. It's not his job. Now, if he's inspired to call, fine, but I'm going to get bent out of shape because my only son doesn't call me or contact me or send me something on my birthday or on Christmas or on Thanksgiving. And I know a lot of you parents are out there saying, hell yeah, I'm going to be disappointed and feel like crap if my sons or my daughters don't call or acknowledge or quote unquote do what we've been doing, keep the tradition going for 20 years. And my hand is up in the air. That's okay for you. But I'm here to tell you that when, and this is going to be a hard one, so put your seatbelt on. Again, the number to call me is area code 646-564-9619. I'm here to say that being disappointed or expecting someone to call or expecting someone to show up, especially your children, is another way to that is controlling, is another way of manipulation. I know this is, I'm not going to get brownie points for this. I know. Start shooting the bow and arrows at me. I get it. I'm okay. Shoot them at me left and right. But that obligation teaching, because I taught my son about obligation and calling me and acknowledging the day. But I'm going to make it a campaign for the rest of my days that, no, number one, I don't need you to call to make my day complete. That's my job. My job. And this thing with children and throwing it out there, it's so easy for parents to guilt their children or expect their children to behave in a certain way, especially on a holiday. Behave meaning you better show up for the dinner. Because I know people personally. They're 62 years old now, and for 62 years, they have spent every Thanksgiving, every Christmas with their mother. I'm saying if it would be different if it wasn't an obligation. But the reason why people do and spend time with other people is because we don't, listen to this one, I don't want to disappoint her. I don't want to disappoint him. I know he's looking forward to, I know she's looking forward to, and I don't want to be the reason for their disappointment. They're expecting me. It would be nice. On and on and on. It, quite frankly, my dear audience, it is a program for unhappiness. We were all programmed to feel responsible for somebody else's happiness, for somebody else's day, for somebody else's Christmas. And I'm done. I can't do it. I don't want my son to do it. I don't want my son to have any obligations to anyone, not even me. I want him to be able to be, and this is the magic word. The biggest gift you can give, this is a magic word, no, this is magic words with an S. The biggest gift that you can give someone that you, quote, claim to love, and I'm saying claim to love, because love, real love, is something that doesn't have strings attached. Real love, when you really love somebody, there are no strings attached to that love. You either love them or you don't. Strings attached meaning you love me, so you have to do A, B, C, or D. That's what that means. That means when I call you, you have to answer the phone. When I text you, you have to respond. And real love is giving the gift of freedom to that person. Freedom for them to behave in any way that they choose. Not the way that I would choose, the way that they would choose. Because quite frankly, if I'm putting on a dinner and I invite people, and I'm for 62 years or for 50 years or 25 years or 10 years, and I'm expecting people to come and people are coming out of obligation, what kind of energy is that? It's not an easy, hold on a second, technical difficulties. Hold on, audience. I just lost my connection. Oops. Hold on, audience, I just lost my connection. Hold on. Okay, I'm back. Hopefully that didn't drop out. But anyway, where was I? Oh, the obligation. Let's get back to the family. So you moms and you dads that are having these dinners and having these gatherings, which is fine. Listen, I'm not trying to get in your business. Just throwing out another perspective. And if your child calls and says, you know what, I'm not going to make it. And usually parents say, why? Ask why. And then your child says, because I just not inspired to. I don't feel like it. I don't want to get up. I don't want to get dressed. I don't want to make the plane ride. I don't want to. Tired. I'd rather watch football. What are you going to say? Are you going to poke your lips out? Or are you going to be okay with a decision that somebody that you say you love? See, that's the key. When you say you love somebody, you either have strings attached or you don't. Well, let's talk about these resolutions, because this is something that just sticks in my craw. When I was younger, I made every year, just like the masses, I was programmed to make New Year's resolutions. Program. Every year you got to make resolutions. And I remember writing them down, and I don't remember how fast they were broken, but I don't remember any that I held on to. I have to say I don't. Of course, that's because my memory's bad these days. Not my memory's bad. My memory's good these days. I'm only in the present moment. But I do remember making resolutions, and I do remember feeling crappy if I never stuck to them. So let me talk about the seven reasons why New Year's resolutions subtract from your happiness. And again, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Did I introduce myself? I'm Rebecca Lynn Norrington, happiness specialist. And my journey has been about how to experience more happiness, more contentment in my own life. And with that, I've learned quite a few things and still learning. This Christmas was one of the, It was a Christmas that I woke up and I had no idea what I was going to do. I had no plans. I didn't have an idea. I didn't have an agenda. I didn't have intentions, nothing. I just woke up and there I was. Oh, that's right. No, not one decoration this year. For some reason, I just wasn't inspired to. Some years I'm inspired to do a lot of decorations. Some years I'm not. This year was a year of no decorations. I did put a wreath on the front door, but that's it. One wreath, front door, that's it. And I woke up with no as Lionel Richie says, no destiny and no purpose. And I let the day evolve, And I just made two stops, just visiting for quick times, 15 minutes here, maybe 45 minutes there, and then I made a beeline back home. I'm a homebody these days. What I got off the track because I was talking about New Year's resolutions. Okay, so what I want to say is I remember my son texted me and I texted him on Christmas. But that was it. That's how I celebrated Christmas. And before I get to the resolution, I just want to say this. Because one of the things that they were talking about on this radio show this year is how families get together, how people get together. And I've heard the statistics. I've read the statistics of how people, they get depressed for holidays. And the reason why is because there's so much expectations and there's so much obligation to spend the holidays with people. And I'm here to tell you that you don't have to spend the holidays. You don't have to spend any day with anyone. You can be alone and still be just as happy. You can be alone and still feel just as content. But that contentment really comes from within being content with who you are, where you are, and not allowing anything outside to interfere with that contentment. Whether you are alone, I mean, look at the programming. You have to have a best friend. You have to have a relationship. You have to have social people. You have to go to parties. I didn't go to one freaking party. I didn't do one celebration. There was an office party at the office, and everybody on the floor so that was about how many people? Maybe almost 60 people went out one day for Christmas. Guess who didn't go? I was there was one person in the office who needed to take care of a legal matter, so I stayed and helped with that. This program to socialize with people, all I'm here is to say is, if you feel like it, if you're inspired to do it, yes. If you're not, please break the mold. Go in a different way of the masses and be okay with your own path, whether you want to be around a lot of people or you want to be by yourself. It's all okay. There is no program. I don't know of one program that says, hey, travel solo. Be by yourself on Christmas. Have the best Christmas in your life by yourself. I told you I made a trip to Iceland this year. I went by myself. I didn't know anybody. Didn't know anybody on the tour. Didn't know anybody in Iceland. I went by myself. And this traveling alone, I'm not saying it's the only way, but I'm saying it is a way. And the stigma of being alone and doing something by yourself, I just want to give you a high five. It's cool. It's okay. It's another way to travel. And quite frankly, it's a lot less. When I travel with people or if I'm with somebody, then that's not true. I was going to say I'm obligated to talk to him, stay with him. That's not true because I have a girlfriend who, when we do go out, and if maybe it's a gathering of people from the gym, she goes one way and I go the other way. She's the only person that in my life that if I call her once every 2 months, she doesn't care. If we hang out together, she can go left and I can go right, and we meet each other at the end of the evening. And that is what I'm talking about, that freedom. Let me get back to the topic. New Year's resolutions. 7 reasons why New Year's resolutions are subtracting from your happiness. Again, the number to call in, 646-564-9619. And this is the first time that there is no one calling in, which is really interesting because this is the first time in a long time, let me just say that. But that's okay. Listen, you know I don't need anybody to do a radio show. I can do it all by my own self. So here we go. 7 reasons why making New Year's resolutions, in my opinion, for my friend Robert Sharp, in my opinion, is subtracting from happiness. The first reason I wrote down is because any resolution, what I've done is eliminated making bold statements. I'm never going to ... I'm always going to ... Making a statement about what I'm going to do, what I'm not going to do. Number one, it's always in the future. And the future doesn't exist. Our only reality is in the present moment. The future doesn't exist. And making any bold statement, quite frankly, is putting me in a box. It's a confinement. Because what if, you ready for this? What if I write this down? Three words. What if I change my mind? What if I'm inspired to do something different? What if I change my mind? What if I wrote out a resolution and I want to lose, you know, this is a big one. Come on, everybody, a lot of people. I lose 15 pounds. Oh God, I can't even tell you how many days and years and never being satisfied with the weight I was. It was ridiculous talking about being programmed for unhappiness. Oh, my weight. Oh, even when I look back when I was in my 20s and I was gorgeous in my 20s, gorgeous in my 30s, I never liked my weight. Isn't that crazy? Program for unhappiness. And so making a resolution is limiting and it doesn't allow for changing your mind. And if you're not able to change your mind or change anything, then it's actually stopping you from being free. Freedom is being able to switch and change and move and groove. It's like watch a leaf that's blown in the wind. It's going to travel anywhere. Freedom is the ability to travel anywhere at any time. And if I change my mind in the middle of the stream and I want to zig when I said I was going to zag, that's what I'm going to do. Changing your mind and being so stuck and so quote-unquote rigid. The word is rigid. When I'm rigid, I'm not able to flow. So rigidity and being able to flow are two separate entities, two separate energies. So when you make a resolution, the first reason is you're not able to change your mind. The second is, I said two in one. The first one was you're in the future, which we know that our only reality is in the present. And the second one is changing your mind. Oh, I balled them up into one. There you go. Another reason why making a New Year's resolution is, and I'm going to tell you what I do every year too, as opposed to the resolutions. Another reason is, as soon as you make a statement or bold statement, some people say goals, some people resolution, whatever it is, the same thing. It becomes an obligation. And we talked about obligations a lot this year and how all obligations, in my opinion, unless it's an old parent or a young child that you're raising, or, you know, I actually can think of something else, but a job is different. A job is a job. You know, your job is more than an obligation, and you need a job to whatever. That's different. But I'm talking about self-inflicting obligations, because you really don't need a job if you want to live high in the Himalayas. And anyway, I digress. Obligations always come with the cousin of anxiety. Having an obligation is a, for me, is a heavy feeling. And with that heavy feeling comes anxiety. Now, you can't feel content and be anxious at the same time. It's impossible to be anxious and content and at peace and happy. So that's another reason. Resolutions, obligation equals anxiety. And that anxiety, you cannot be happy with anxiety, unless it's conscious anxiety. I digress. Now, resolutions, I don't know about you, but it's a man-made concept. And you've heard me on this show talk about universal concepts and man-made concepts, universal creations and man-made creations. And this resolution, making resolutions at the first of the year, is a man-made it's a man-made creation. And I'm here to tell you right now that unless it's a cell phone or a computer or a flat-screen TV or a nice chair, soft chair, or one of those pillows or one of those great mattresses, I'm talking about man-made creations, for comfort, but this make a resolution, what are your resolutions? I'm off that train. I'm off that bandwagon. In fact, here's a secret. If the masses are doing it, if the majority of the people are doing it, I don't care what it is, you ready? Are doing it. My advice is to turn and run the other way. So that's another reason, man-made. Oh, I already talked about the children expecting. Now, resolutions, believe it or not, is another form of trying to control self, meaning you're putting yourself, I don't know, but maybe this is just a personal thing with me. Because I grew up with this rules, things that I had to do, things that I were obligated to do, things that I should do. And resolution to me just feels the same way. It feels like it is stifling, smothering, suffocating my freedom. Again, the biggest gift you can give someone else is their freedom to be themselves, their freedom to make their own decisions, their freedom to experience their own journey without your quote unquote two cents. Especially you parents with advice to these children that are old enough, in other words, they're you know, of age. Because there comes a point where, for me, I really had to let go of trying to navigate or assist my son in navigating through his life. Now, if he calls, Mom, I have a question. Mom, you know, I would like your opinion. I would like your take on it. I would like your perspective. That's a totally different when they ask. But just to volunteer my two cents into my child's life or into my parents' life or into my brother or sister's life, excuse me? It's a big no-no. It's, when I say it's a no-no, it's coming from a place of, yeah, I know my intentions are good, but in reality, what am I really doing? Okay, let me get back on point. Sometimes when I don't have callers, I get kind of, I drift a little bit. Sometimes. I want to read this quote from Abraham, you know, Abraham of Esther Hicks. This is a really good one that I just printed out. And this is about, it coincides with this resolution and making resolutions. And it says, Abraham says, all is well and you will never get it done. Life is supposed to be fun. No one is taking score of any kind. And when you stop taking score so much, you will feel a lot better. And as you feel a lot better, more of the things that you feel a lot better, more of the things that you feel will flow to you. You will never be in a place where all of the things that you are wanting will be satisfied right now. You will never be in a place where you will be complete. It is impossible. This incomplete place that you stand in is the best place that you could be. You are on track. You are right on schedule. Everything is unfolding perfectly. All is really well. Have fun. Have fun. Have fun. I have to say this. I have to read parts of it again, because what Abraham is really talking about is having that energy of satisfaction regardless of what's done, regardless of what's accomplished, regardless of what you see. You will never be in a place where all of the things that you are wanting will be satisfied right now, or then you would be complete, and you never can be. This incomplete place that you stand in is the best place that you can be. You're right on track. You're right on schedule. When people talk to me about not having goals, or not planning, not doing anything, the reason why I stopped making goals and the reason why I stopped, other than, I'm going to have my second book finished by April the 1st. The reason why I stopped that is because obligation also means pressure. And some people, well, I like the pressure. Well, that's fine. There's some things that I like that I work better with pressure under too. Some things I work. Pressure, now I'm getting it done, zip, 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 yes, deadline, yes, some things. But if you asked me if I want to be under pressure every single day to have a goal, to have an obligation, my answer is always going to be no. There is a big difference between being inspired to do something, for it to come from this place of, ooh, I think I feel like, it's kind of like, same thing with food. You have a craving, same thing, craving, inspiration. I have a craving to write. I have a craving to come up with a quote for the day. I have an inspiration to do it. But as opposed to, oh, God, I wrote. That's why if you go on Twitter, if you follow me on Twitter, at R.L. Norrington on Twitter, sometimes I have a quote every day that I've been inspired to share. And sometimes I have a quote once every 5 days. Or every 7 days. I'm not going to write a quote just because every day I'm supposed to or obligated to or should. And I know social media stats, you have to keep your audience engaged and you have to keep your context engaged and all of that. And I don't, that's too much pressure. What's going to happen is going to happen. What's not going to happen is not going to happen. Thinking that I have control over what's going to happen in my life, this is what I have control over. Let me share. For the new year, need I say the same goes for you? I have control over my perspective. I have control over judgments, making a judgment. I remember I was talking to somebody very, very prestigious this week, and he was talking about, oh, the mistakes that I made. They've been all a learning experience, but they're my space. And I stopped him. I said, there's no such thing as a mistake. A mistake, there's no such thing as making a mistake. What there is it's an experience without a judgment. A mistake is a man-made term. Again, remember, man-made terms, trust me. You'll always feel, you're not going to feel content when you feel like you've made a mistake. But when you feel like everything is happening and everything is flowing in perfect order, this is the hardest thing that I've had to do, is to let go of thinking that I have control over what happens to me and what doesn't. Because always I will think, oh, I'm not doing enough. Oh, I didn't read enough. Oh, I didn't make enough connections. Oh, I didn't speak. I didn't have too many speaking engagements this year. Oh, I didn't make that flyer, so only 15 people are in my happiness class, as opposed to I could have gotten 30. When I began to realize and know that this is the truth, that what is happening is not my plan. What is happening is a greater plan that I couldn't even imagine. And to relax with it and to allow it to unfold in its own time. In its own time. The freedom of thinking that I did something, I caused this to happen, it's really another program, a program of thinking that you caused or you did. And it's a program to bring certain unhappiness. Program for unhappiness means just that. Program that you are responsible, then you did it. And you're to blame. People, if you could let that go, my dear audience, if you could let that go this year and to really surrender and allow the universe to work its magic, because it really is all magic. I don't care what you think it looks like. It really is. It's miraculous. It's miraculous magic. I love that word, magic. It's something that's beyond words. It's indescribable. The order of the universe, the order of the divine, the order of source, the order of God, the order of a higher power, the order of all of that. All you need to do is to trust and let go. Resist nothing. This new year and patience. I can look back. Somebody Facebooked me today and said, because I posted a picture. There was a photographer this week and stopped. A professional photographer stopped and took my picture. He actually just started snapping pictures of me. Just probably took about, I don't know, just kept snapping, snapping, snapping. And one of my Facebook friends said, you know, you've never taken a bad picture. And it made me, and I know I'm digressing, but it made me think, when I was younger, Program for Unhappiness, when I was younger, there were so many pictures. I mean, when I was in my 20s and 30s, 40s, there were so many pictures I looked at and I judged, oh God, what an ugly picture. Oh, I don't look great on this picture. Oh, geez. Oh, I'm fat. Oh, all of these judgments. Programmed to look at myself and find fault with my body, with my face, with my weight. Program for unhappiness to find fault and really not be content is a intention for this new year. How about program to look at every picture? I don't care if it looks goofy, if it looks a little lopsided, if my cheek's fat, my who knows? Programmed to be accepting. How about a different program this year? Programmed to accept. Programmed to flow. Programmed not to resist. Programmed to surrender. Programmed that in every moment know that you could change and shift your energy in a second. Programmed to look out into the world and smile and know that everything has a purpose. How about a resolution that's going to allow you to feel better about that person in the mirror? This person that said there, you know, he made a lot of mistakes. And I told him, I said, you know, it's all about looking in the mirror and being okay. And he came back with, well, that's very difficult. The subconscious is very deep-rooted, and it's very difficult to look in the mirror and really be accepting of self. And I got my hand up. It's not easy. But what it is a practice like anything else. And there's so many people that are good at cooking, that are good at knitting, that are good at it's singing, that are good at playing an instrument, they're good at being a doctor, they're good at a massage therapist, good at painting, auto mechanic, they're really good at these things. They had to practice. Make 2016 the practice of feeling good about you. Make it a practice, make it a daily practice, make it a daily moment-by-moment intention to feel good about you and your life. Because this world is programmed to for us to feel bad, that we're not doing enough, that we aren't enough. It's a program for unhappiness. Where you are living right here on this planet. And I'm here to tell you, it's time to break that cycle of thinking that there is something wrong with you and or your life and or where you are at this moment. There is nothing wrong. There is nothing you need to do but to accept the beauty of this thing we call life. I spent a lot of years being miserable. I spent a lot of years being unhappy, unsatisfied about myself. And it's time, to practice switching it up. And it's not going to happen overnight. But trust me, you will begin to feel a difference. And when I say feel it, I'm talking about an internal feeling. And you'll begin to feel it little by little. Stay on that path. Stay on that journey. Smile, regardless. I'm talking about an internal smile. Well, you could have a smile outside too. I'm talking about an internal smile. Smile. And thank you for where I am and what I've been. And thank you for this moment of acceptance. The resolution is accepting it all, accepting it all without judgment. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. My website again is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. You can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com if you want a private session. You can go on my website and send your email. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. And if you've enjoyed the show, which I know that you have, if you've listened, I know that you have, go to Reality Spirituality on Facebook and like Reality Spirituality's Facebook page. Until next year, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You are consciousness in a physical form. Love is patient, and love is kind, and love is freedom. Give yourself the gift of freedom. Give yourself the gift of choice, and give the people that you love that same gift. You're always evolving. You're always changing. Be patient. Be your own best friend. You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is all about the journey. I'll chat with you again next year. Wow, 2015 was great, was interesting, ups, downs, expanding, so many things that happened. Hey, you want to know what my password is? Let me tell you what my password is on my computer. I won't tell you which computer it is. Well, you would never get to my computer anyway. But let me tell you what my password is. I think I've shared it on the air. But every month I have to change it. And my password is, what else is possible in, so in January it's going to be, what else is possible in January 2016? That's it. Just ask the question, what else is possible, universe? What else is possible in January 2016? And I'm telling you people, I'm telling you audience, you don't have to do anything. You just have to be, you have to be conscious and aware of when you're inspired to act, conscious and aware when you're inspired to make that call or inspired to write or inspired to do whatever you do. When you're inspired to do it, things will happen. Trust me. What else is possible for 2016? Whenever you ask a question, you're always given an answer. I love you all. Thank you for sharing 2015 with me. Reality, Spirituality, you've been listening to that show, Reality, Spirituality, with me, Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Blabbity, 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 blab. Happy New Year. Happy New Cheer. Yay, 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 yay.
Now it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality, Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality, Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality, Spirituality.
Time to get some answers, baby. Oh, now we get real.
Get real. Spirituality.
Yeah, time to get down.
Spirituality.
Yeah, you're gonna feel good now.